Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Youngblood. I'm from the Pensacola area, and Dr. Youngblood is taking care of a family situation, has asked me to host his show, and it is indeed an honor for me to do so. Regular listeners have heard me host a show before or be a guest with Dr. Youngblood during his show. If you would like to call in, we're going to be discussing many issues for the next half hour. The call-in number is 904-831-0917. As I have stated at the start of the show, I would like to pose this question to the audience and ask you to call in with your comment. Should America celebrate Black History Month? Why or why not? At one time, it used to be called Black History Week when it started about the 1950s. It has now progressed to be an entire month, Black History Month. Should we as a nation celebrate Black History Month? Why or why not? The number to call in is 904-831-0917. Here's an article that's coming out of California. This is, again, shows you the insanity of the left. California lawmakers target police K-9 units and call for their removal because of, get it, racism, of course. What else? Dogs are now racist. A new effort is underway to ban police from using police dogs to arrest or apprehend suspects. If passed, it would also ban police from using them for crowd control. The lawmaker behind the bill, newly elected Assemblymember Corey Jackson, said the use of police canines has been the backbone of this country's history of racial bias and violence against Black Americans. How he can come to that conclusion, I have no idea. Jackson said police canines were first used by slave catchers and are a violent carryover from America's dark past. Utter nonsense. Okay, no denial that dogs were used to catch slaves who were running away, but dogs have been used by police forces to catch anyone who is running away, including those who have committed a crime, not just those who are of a certain color, which is, so a dog is only going to attack someone who's Black. That is so asinine. Now, this is a ridiculous legislative push. Criminals on the run or being chased by police shouldn't be comfortable. All this bill would do is decrease public safety. And police dogs have been essential in various other law enforcement duties, not least being tasked with saving the lives of fellow officers. Recently, I was flying from Miami back to my home in Pensacola, and there at the Miami airport was an officer, a TSA officer with a dog, who was walking back and forth in between each person or groups of people before they were to show their ID to get to their gate. And the purpose of the dog, of course, was to sniff for explosives, to sniff for any sort of ammunition, and probably also drugs. These dogs, these canines, serve a very important function with our police unit. My son is a sheriff deputy, and he can tell you the importance of these dogs, of how they help control crime. Only in La La Land, California, would you have someone with the idea that dogs are racist. Utter nonsense. They can point at anything and call it racist. I understand we have a caller on the line, Lily. Lily, what is your comment or question, please?
Yes, thank you very much, Counselor. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, please, go ahead.
Yes, can you? Okay, right. I'm calling in response to your concern, your main major concern today about this Black History Month, yes. A caller before me, he started off by saying he's a Black Christian man. Well, might as well I introduce myself in a similar way, as a Black Christian woman. And but over the years, I have been spent my years in the classroom, and the whole idea of Black history was always somehow offensive to me. Each time it come around, it was offensive, and I never thought it made sense or it had any good contribution to make in spite of looking at the history, Black history and so on. I just thought. And then even in recent times, it's like more, I can't remember how long ago the Black history one started, but it was like that for me. I never thought it, never came across. It was always a bit offensive. And I always thought that, I said, well, if we have Black history and we have brown history or red history or white history or any other kind of history, well, we should be having it that. If we can have Black, we should have others. I always thought if we had, say, a white history month, it would be a bit of offensive. You would wonder why white wanted to get together. Well, yes. If you're studying the Black history, well, you might as well be studying white history too, because then you would level it off. So that is the situation with it. And I think it tend to divide the population. Another thing,
Lily, thank you so much. Yes, thank you so much for your comments. I agree with you.
My
it is divisive.
It's in such a critical condition at this time. And
yes, I agree with you completely. Lily, thank you so much. We have another on the line. It's Tom. Tom, what is your comment or question, please?
Yes, sir, Mike. I'd just like to comment that the left, when they propose something that don't think it's going to be smart, don't think it's going to accomplish a meaningful purpose, it can actually have more harm than it does good. But that's just the way the left works. They're wacky. And yes. To answer
now,
your question,
Tom,
about
Tom,
studying Black History Month, isn't that divisive?
Explain your comment,
to
Tom,
study Black history and not study white history? Whites have history too. Why not just study history and leave the black and white alone?
Yes.
You know, what is wrong with that, Mike?
Yes, Tom, you're absolutely right. It's American history. It is all of our history together. Many people came to these shores to build this great nation, and they're all a part of our history. Now, many blacks will say that, yes, but the input the historical inputs that blacks have made have been ignored. And I would say that's not true. We know of those greats who have made tremendous inputs to our history, but there are also many from other backgrounds who have not been taught about, who have been ignored simply because of the sake of space and time to teach it all. As I said at the beginning of the show, if you really want to know American history, don't depend on government schools. Instead, learn for yourself. Dig deep into any topic that you want to have. Tom, did you have any other comments you wanted to add?
Yes, I was just going to say, when you limit to black or white, you're going to find the narrative changes. The narrative won't really be on history. It'll be on bashing one side or the other. And just like you said about the police dogs, those dogs aren't just to attack people. They're to sniff out drugs, guns, explosives. But yet we're going to eliminate all the police dogs. So that's what I'm saying. It's sad, but there's always a behind-the-scenes agenda. And yes. And Mike, I'm really, as a person, I'm tired of it.
I'm with you, Tom, completely. We should be uniting our nation, not dividing it apart with these different months of what they call a celebration. I know that during Black History Month, typically what they will show is not just contributions by blacks, but they will show past grievances, which have been going on, which does nothing but make you angry. So yes, I agree with you completely. Tom, thank you so much for calling in. Have a great day. We have another caller on the line. Bob, what is your comment, please?
Hey, Mike, it's Bob White. You asked me to call regarding the gun bill.
Yes, Bob. Switching subjects, thank you so much. But it's a very important subject, and it has to do with what we see happening in the Florida legislature right now, where they want to pass a so-called constitutional carry bill, which would mean that you don't have to get a permit. Well, most people would think it to mean you don't have to get a permit to be able to carry a weapon. Tom, tell us what this bill is actually doing, and is it a good bill?
Well, you use the word so-called constitutional carry, and that's a very accurate assessment of it, Mike. It's not a constitutional carry bill at all. All it is a permitless concealed carry bill. There's no open carry associated with it at all. It does nothing to address the problems of the prohibition against carrying on campus, you know, a state university or a community college, a state college. There's a prohibition against carrying on campus. It does nothing to alleviate or to restore, I should say, the rights of 18, 19, and 20-year-olds to be able to lawfully purchase a firearm from a licensed dealer. And it does nothing to address the very grievous enforcement of red flag statute as it was passed under the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas bill, SB 7026, back in 2018. So to call this bill constitutional carry is a fraud and an insult to the intelligence of those of us that have been active within the Second Amendment community now for many, many years. As you know, towards the end of last year's legislative session, or shortly after the session ended, Paul Renner, who's now the speaker, this will be his first session, said that he would be the speaker and this would be the session under which in which the Republican-controlled Florida House of Representatives would pass constitutional carry. And the governor, of course, has been saying that all they have to do, if the legislature will just send a constitutional carry bill to his desk, he'll sign it. And so, you know, we've all been waiting, and now they come out with this bill, HB 543, and the companion bill now is out, SB Senate Bill 150. And it's a complete and total slap in the face and an insult to our intelligence.
Now, so that's where Bob White is president of the Florida Republican Liberty Caucus, good friend of mine, and is well known in political circles throughout Florida. And Bob went and testified before the House committee that was the first hearing for first committee hearing for that bill. Is that correct, Bob?
It is correct, as a matter of fact. And coming up, this coming Monday and Tuesday, I'll be back up in Tallahassee on the 20th and the 21st. The first hearing for the Senate Bill 150 is going to be on Monday afternoon at 3 p.m., and I believe that's in the Criminal Justice Committee. And then the next morning, the House bill is going to be heard. Its second committee stop is going to be heard at 8 a.m. in the morning at the House. House Judiciary Committee is going to be taking it up. So I'll be up there again, and we'll be testifying in both of those committee hearings about the bill.
Now, Bob, I saw Bob White of the Republican Liberty Caucus. I saw your testimony, the video, before the House committee, and you raised all valid and completely logical reasons why this is not a good bill. Let me ask you, what was the result of that committee? Did it pass or not pass?
Oh, it passed the committee on a straight party line vote. Every Republican voted for it. Every Democrat voted against it. The Democrats made many attempts to try to amend the bill, all of which failed. So it passed out of that committee in its current form, again on a party line vote. And you know how it, you're a veteran of Tallahassee, Mike. You know how it goes when it's the Speaker's bill. Republicans are very reluctant to vote against it or even to amend it. We're calling on them, on the legislature to amend the bill to include open carry. And we're also calling on the governor, via legislative action alerts. We do these, throughout the legislative session and during committee weeks on pieces of legislation like this, where we email our subscriber list, which is about 3,000 people, and encourage them to – we give them a legislative action alert where we literally lay it out for them and tell them this is what we need you to do, this is the bill in question, this is what the bill does, this is why we're either opposed to it or why we support it, whichever it may be. Here's what we need you to say on the subject line, and we give everyone the email addresses for every Republican member of whatever committee the bill is being heard in. In this case,
okay, so
just
Bob, let me ask you this. So the Democrats were against the bill and were trying to amend it, but were they trying to amend it, and are they against it for the right reasons, or is it because they don't want constitutional carry at all?
Yeah, they don't want it at all. They did not want it at all. They were trying to do everything they could to water down the bill, to change the bill, to take the they don't want it at all. They don't want permitless carry of any kind.
So
and they certainly
the
don't
whole
want
idea, the whole
change
premise of constitutional carry is that according to the Second Amendment of our Constitution, which only codifies our God-given right to protect and defend ourselves, that the whole idea of constitutional carry says that the Constitution is our permit to be able to carry without permission from the government. We shouldn't have to pay for a permit from the government. Our right to be able to have a weapon to protect ourselves should not be infringed upon at all. And this bill, as you so aptly described, Bob, does not do that. Our rights to defend ourselves is still heavily infringed upon. Bob, if any listeners want to get involved with this and also to help you, how can they contact you and what should they do?
Well, the first thing they need to do is go to our website, which is RLCFL. www.thefreedomfighters.org. And right there on the home page, when you open up that website, if you just scroll down a little bit, you'll find a big word that says subscribe, and that appears over the top of an envelope. And you just click on the subscribe button, and then a field opens up where you enter your, you know, your name and your email address, your contact information, if you will, and you click on that, and you automatically will get added to our subscription list. There's no cost involved. You don't have to become a member or anything like that. And you'll automatically start receiving all of these legislative action alerts. And on this bill and on many, many other bills throughout the course of the legislative session, because we're all about, as an organization, you know this, Mike, we're about personal liberty. And of course, you know, the Second Amendment falls under personal liberty, and we're about limited government, and we're about free markets. Capitalism, not corporatism, but capitalism and free markets. And so we have, you know, we have a bill tracker on that same website, rlcfl.org. People can go to the bill tracker on that website and find about, it's not fully populated yet because the bills are just now starting to roll out. The session hasn't actually started yet. But there's probably already 9 or 10 bills on there. By the time the session starts, there'll probably be 40 plus bills on the bill tracker that we'll be following that either have a positive or a negative impact on liberty. So we're either supporting them or opposing them. And, you know, and so that's a great way for people to become involved and to follow what's going on and to receive these action alerts and be able to send an email. And we just make it so easy. As I said, we put a block together of the email addresses of every Republican member of the committee in question when we send out one of these alerts. And you can literally copy and paste the whole block, all of them at the same time, into the send to line on your email. And we tell you what to write on the subject line, and then just ask that you, you know, that you give just a couple of quick sentences about, you know, in the body of the bill, encouraging them to do exactly what we're suggesting, which is to either support it or oppose it.
Okay, well, Bob, I want to thank you for the excellent work that you do in Tallahassee each and every year. This isn't your first time. And again, for listeners, if you want to become a part of this, stopping this fake constitutional carry bill, it's RLC, as in Republican Liberty Caucus, FLFlorida.org, RLCFL.org. Bob, thank you so much for calling in, and I wish you all the best. Safe travels as you go to Tallahassee.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it very much. And thank you for the
Absolutely.
Work
that you do. Thank you, Bob. Okay, let's switch gears just a little bit. Let's go back to something that is affecting a lot of us. Fortunately, not here in the state of Florida, because as DeSantis is, woke is where you come to Florida, that's where woke will die. But a circuit of appeals court is going to hear a case on maintaining integrity of female sports. Again, this just highlights the insanity of the left. The effort to protect girls and women's interscholastic sports from unfair competition from males claiming to be females received an encouraging signal from a federal appeals court in New York this week. New York, can you believe it? Anything coming favorable out of New York is a miracle. The Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals issued notice on February 13th stating that it was vacating, that is, removing a December 2022 decision from a 3-judge panel of second court judges against several female Connecticut high school track athletes and will rehear the case. These three females from in high school in Connecticut were denied their ability to win track meets because of these males that were competing. And when they brought a suit forward, a 3-judge panel of the circuit court, Second Circuit Court, threw it out, told them that the boys who were pretending to be girls, that we all must pretend with them and allow them to participate against girls, which is patently unfair. So now the full Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, is now going to take a look at this case again. In the appeal, several female track athletes are seeking to overturn a Connecticut state policy allowing so-called transgender women, that is, males who claim to be females, males who are suffering from gender dysphoria, which can actually be treated with proper counseling. It's not like they have to be trapped in that mental capacity any longer. All they need is certain proper counseling and can be become made aware that you are indeed a male and not a female. So what they want to do is a Connecticut state, this is a state of Connecticut, has a policy saying that you will pretend with these boys and allow them to compete against girls. So these girls are wanting to overturn that. The notice explains that a poll was taken among all the active judges on the Second Circuit and that a majority voted to rehear the case. A majority, that's insane. It should have been all of them that were going to do it. So as you can see, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a situation right now in the United States where we are suffering from many different ailments. But the primary reason we are suffering from this is because we have gotten away from our Christian heritage. We have gotten away from how this country was founded in the first place. This country was founded and built upon Christian values and traditions. And that is why God so blessed this nation for many years. But more recently, in about the past 100 years or so of this nation, we have lost our traditional Christian mooring, and that instead we are going towards doing what we think is right in our own eyes. And that always leads to disaster. God continues to bless this nation, and I am so grateful for that. And I must say that it is because of the Christians in this nation who will still get on their knees and pray and ask God for forgiveness and for mercy and to continue shedding his blessings on this great nation. And I would encourage you to continue doing that. All the listeners on this program, do your Christian duty and continue to pray for this nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our protection. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Tune in again tomorrow at the same time to continue hearing issues that are important to us each and every day. God bless you.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.